The hardest thing for me to do is to remember that this isn't Your Kiss Is on my list. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great.
You're doing great?
Yeah.
All right. Plain and simple. To the point. I like that. joining us today, we have a brand new guest. I'm very excited to have him here. He is a stand-up comedian and co-host of two podcasts, The Virgin Chronicles and SNL Nerds. Please, everybody...
Put your hands together for Darren.
I'll put my hands together. Darren Patterson.
Hey, everybody. Standing ovation. Oh, my God. The crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes absolutely insane.
Holy moly. Oh,
Copper slept through the whole thing.
By the dog at the sleep.
Yeah, by crowd, we mean the laziest animal around. So, Darren, welcome to our home. Welcome to our podcast. It is nice to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Thanks for having me. This home is lovely.
Oh, shucks. It's a fine, nothing.
A fine chateau you have here.
It's almost unpacked, sort of.
Almost, yeah. There's still a lot of like debris and garbage.
We hit it, though. We hit it before Darren came over.
Quick, hide the debris.
That was seriously like 2 hours of panic hiding boxes.
It's all under the rug. Yeah. You just swept it.
Brad, you need to put this hammer somewhere. Why are there all these screws lying around?
This is true.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Why is there just a hacksaw lying out?
I don't know. It was in our kitchen.
Put it in a place.
Well, yeah, you got to slice that bread somehow. I don't know. Like, I'm not here to judge.
Brad's a cook and also enjoys slicing bread with a hacksaw.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's a little restaurant hack for everybody out there.
A hack.
Appropriate. Did you mean to do that? Oh, who's the comedian here? Waka Waka.
Zing.
That's absolutely correct. So, Darren, I was saying you are one of the hosts of two different podcasts.
I know. I got two under my belt.
That is badass right there.
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit about each of the podcasts? Just tell not only us, but also the people listening to this episode.
Yeah, sure thing. So I have two podcasts. The newer one is called SNL Nerds. I do it with my good buddy John Trumbull, fellow comic. We record it in Clifton under the Non-Productive Network. And basically, we're big fans of the show Saturday Night Live, almost to the point where we're just very nerdy about it. So every episode, we talk about the last episode of SNL that just came on. We break it down. We dissect it. We also go off on tangents about old episodes. We talk about our favorite SNL characters, SNL cast, SNL musical guests, like history of SNL, just anything SNL we talk about on the podcast.
And now you were saying before, I was going to ask you if you had a favorite cast member of all time. And I'm assuming, just based on what you were telling me before about your favorite stand-ups of all time, you're going to go Eddie Murphy, aren't you?
I mean, he's my personal favorite.
Right.
But a close second, I'm going to go ahead and say Phil Hartman.
Okay.
Because
that dude did everything.
You were like, a big fan of the unfrozen
caveman
lawyer.
I'm a caveman. he could do everything. That dude, he could do accents. He could be like the straight man. He could be like the funny guy. He was very versatile. Like, he was like just the go-to utility guy. And like, I mean, I just might say he might have been the greatest SNL.
Wow, that is a bold statement
right there. I'm going to put it out there, yeah.
I think if you're going to make a bold statement like that, it has to be about someone of Phil Hartman's caliber.
Oh, no, I don't necessarily disagree.
Yeah.
And The Virgin Chronicles.
Yes, The Virgin Chronicles. Chronicles is my older podcast. I've been doing it with my buddy Evan Morgenstern for about, I guess, 3 years now, maybe a little bit more. We do it in the back of a bar in Brooklyn.
And nice.
We have on comedians, actors, whoever else will talk to us about their first time. It doesn't have to be about the first time, you know, having sex. It'd be the first time doing anything. Your first.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. Like your first time on stage. Your first time first heartbreak. Your first time you told a lie. First job. Your first time you got arrested. First time you got drunk. Anytime. Like, a lot of people have a cool first time story. So, like, they just talk about that.
I remember one of the episodes that I binge listened to this past week. I believe, what was her name? Jen Kwok?
Oh, Jen Kwok.
We're talking about her first time driving.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
There was one episode we did where another comic friend of ours, Neruda Williams, talked about the first time he stole a car, which also was the first time he ever drove a car.
Was that the last time he stole a car?
I... You'll have to listen to find out.
I mean, it's the Virgin Chronicles. I don't know if you get into people's last times also.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's a great show. We have like a lot. I mean, some of the bigger comics we had, Phoebe Robinson on years ago.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. I love her so much.
Check out. It's like, I think it's one of our most listened to episodes. She talked about like our first time, our first job and some awesome stuff. The girls from Guys We Fucked, we had them on.
Listened to that episode and, earlier this week as well.
And just, you know, just regular comics to have a lot of good first time stories. They got high, first time traveling outside the country. Just any first time story is usually a good one.
So Brad didn't clue me into the fact that this existed at all.
What?
And so,
to be fair, you had class multiple nights this week. And so while I was listening to them, you were not there. And then.
But then, like, I come home in the evening. I'm like, hey, Brad, how's your day? And you didn't respond with, like, I was listening to this really cool podcast that happens to be hosted by Darren, who's coming to our house on Friday. Because I would have prepared instead.
Oh, boy. Like,
Darren comes over and Brad's like, hey, I've been listening to your podcast. And I'm like, shit, I didn't even know you had a podcast.
Yeah,
so I'm
going
to be listening to Virgin Chronicles for sure.
First of all, do your research. Second of all,
I'm doing my research. I'm doing a language and youth study using classroom discourse analysis theory, and that's kind of taking up a lot of my time at the moment.
I mean, whatever. That sounds fine, but like, listen to the Virgin Chronicles.
This is awkward.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
Okay. Yeah. I intend to listen. Oh,
Darren, you've driven a wedge into this marriage.
Trouble in paradise.
This marriage was great until today. No, I'm just kidding.
Boy.
It's all good.
Yowzers. Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah. you can listen to the Virgin Chronicles. We're on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. SNL Nerds, we're on iTunes and Stitcher underneath the Nonproductive umbrella. You can also go to nonproductive.com and check us out there. non-productive.com.
However you spell that, who cares?
Fine.
It took me a minute. It's like, am I spelling this right?
You're doing a great job.
Everybody's listening in their car anyway. Nobody should be writing it down while they're driving.
Nobody write it down. Nobody punch it into their phone while you're driving.
Just
wait. If you're driving, your laptop is open, just type in non-productive.
Ask Siri. Siri knows how to spell it for you. So pretty simple.
Siri knows all.
Siri knows basically all. And that's if she
scary.
Doesn't know it, she'll just Google the search results for
you. Yeah, exactly. So Siri's basically driving the car for you, so just ask him to put on the podcast. Yeah.
I don't like it, but that's a conversation for another day.
Siri, drive me to work. I could take a little half-hour nap.
Rise of the Machines.
I don't care
for
it.
We're not far. That is, Siri
we're very
is basically
close.
Skynet, the essence Skynet.
I'm just going to get a flip phone.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, go off the grid. I don't know.
Just look at these smartphones. I just want an idiot phone, please.
Yeah, I'm going to throw out Alexa because I'm sure she's listening to us.
Oh my God, I'm going back to a beeper.
Seriously.
Give me a pager.
I just want, seriously, one like Dixie cup with a string attached to it.
Can I just have a phone with a cord that needs to be long enough so I can walk out of the room where my parents can hear me talking on the phone?
A Dixie cup with a string that I can also like FaceTime people
nice.
On. That's really what I'm looking for.
I want
for.
One of those old phones where you got to crank to start it up.
Yes.
I want like
operator, get me this.
Operator, give me 555 Klondike. Like one of those babies.
That sounds good. Let's go back to that.
That's old school right there. Yeah. Absolutely. Darren, before we get into the episode, I need to ask you, do you remember what your first album that you ever bought or owned was?
I have a couple of different answers because I don't remember exactly which one was the first one.
Lay them all on us.
All right. So I remember because I grew up in the 80s and in the 90s, that's when I really started getting. I mean, I was big into music in the 80s, but in the 90s, that's when I had enough money to buy
my own.
That's
when you were buying your own.
That's when I got the sweet cheddar to buy my own.
The sweet cheddar to buy your own cassettes.
Buy my own tunes.
Yeah.
So either my first album I bought was either CNC Music Factory.
Oh boy.
Or
which one?
The first one.
Was it the whole album?
Yeah. Because this is like before I knew about like maxi singles or whatever. So I just like, I like this one song because I guess I have to buy the whole album. Or it was Simpsons Sing the Blues.
I own that album with the Bartman.
Do the Bartman.
Look at all these idiots.
Do the Bartman. I had that too.
The second single, Deep, Deep Trouble.
There was also Lisa Sings the Blues or God Bless the Child. She does a version of God Bless the Child.
There was a version of Bad to the Bone on there as well. Maybe done by Homer? I think or Bart.
Wouldn't he do
Bart did like driving around a automobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't Homer do like Born Under a Bad Sign?
That's yes. what I'm thinking. Yes. Excuse me, it wasn't Bad to the Bone. It was Born Under a Bad Sign. Right. I was really young, but I did own that tape and I listened to that and the New Kids on the Block Christmas album until I burned them out, basically.
Right. Yeah. So it was either one of those two, or actually now that I think about it, because like I was also just starting to get into hip hop. And like the first album I bought that got me into hip hop, because I'm a big fan of 90s hip hop. But the first album I remember buying that really got me into it was DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Home Base, of course, because of Summertime.
Was Summertime. Okay.
Parents Just Don't Understand is off of their first one.
That's earlier. Right.
He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper, it's called.
And Girls of the World Ain't Nothing But Trouble was on that one. Yeah, okay, yeah.
It was either, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe that wasn't the first album. It was also, because I also listened to Heavy D and the Boys, the first album, Peaceful Journey, because I really liked that single, Now That We Found Love.
It's a great song. What are we supposed to do with it?
Yeah. The one that sampled that, I think it was Inner Circle, like an old reggae song.
Okay.
Inner Circle, the only song
I know is the Cops theme.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing by Inner Circle I could tell you.
I'm learning so many things.
Well, it's a wonderful day.
Yeah.
The teacher has become the student.
Yeah. So usually on this podcast.
Yeah.
So one of those four albums was my first time. I don't remember which one I bought first.
They all just kind of blend together.
Yeah. And then after that, like I bought, because I was really, again, I was getting deep into hip hop, and I bought Black Sheep, a Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, which is one
had. They had that you can get with this.
Yeah.
You can get
the with Choice that. Is Yours. That the was a big yours, radio hit. Right. But the whole album's really good.
We talked about that on our Dr. Dre and Ed Lover episode.
Really?
That. Yeah. Back Up Off Me.
Oh, yeah. Only You Pumped Fit Back Up Off Me.
Great song, right?
B-A-C-K-U-P Off Me.
Great song.
Back when spelling was all the rage.
Yeah, kids today, right?
No one spells anymore, these
Lil
kids.
Lil Wayne doesn't spell. In fact, his name is Lil Wayne.
L-I-L, that's a misspelling.
Just a shortened spelling. It's not a wrong spelling, but he didn't want to use all the letters. Back in the day, we used to spell out all the letters.
Post Malones of the world. I think he raps, right?
I don't even know.
I don't know. I don't have any idea.
All I know about him, our friend and podcast guest Josh texted me something about how he learned to play guitar by playing like Guitar Hero. That piece of shit is now like a massive
star
celebrity.
Are you mad that that's not how you learned to play guitar?
So I'm gonna just recall my experience with Josh earlier this week. He texted me, "I don't get Post Malone." And my response was, "I don't know what Post Malone is."
is this a real thing you're texting me about?
Yeah, you know you reach a certain age when like people say, "Oh, there's this name a rapper," and you're like, "I've never heard
not
of
a clue."
It's like when you watch like the new Video Music Awards,
mm-hmm.
and you have no idea who anybody is.
Yeah.
You're like, wow, I guess I'm that guy.
I'm an old person now.
I know that there's a Cardi B.
Well, yeah, I mean she's pretty huge though.
I couldn't tell you any of her.
She
songs.
Did the dripping in finesse.
Okay.
Dripping with finesse.
That's with Bruno Mars.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like a called Finesse.
I know Bruno Mars.
Yeah, Bruno Mars has a song called Finesse, but it sounds very 90s.
His whole album is very 90s, kind of like New Jack Swing throwback.
Very much so. And he has like the video where if you watch, the video is like pretty much like a take on the opening of In Living Color, where like you watch, like everybody's dressed in colorful clothes.
Yeah.
And like
How you they, live in what?
Yeah,
How
and they do a dance on a set that looks exactly like the.
Well, because the 90s are back, baby.
Yeah,
absolutely. In a big way.
Get those cross colors out, man.
All these teenage girls wearing Nirvana t-shirts.
Seriously, I'm a high school teacher and I just see Doc Martens and overalls with like one side unclipped. And I'm like, why am I in my own high school again? What's happening here?
You know,
why do you have a flannel shirt tied around the waist with your overalls on? What are we doing?
Next, you're going to see like those people with the big like blossom hats with the sunflower
on
the
hats.
Like a fade is back or like
yeah,
getting
fade
like,
is back. That's
like,
what
like
you're
getting like stripes.
That's so weird because I was just thinking of getting one
to the side of your head and stuff, which actually like I think that looks pretty cool.
I'm going to get
that's a 90s thing that's worth bringing.
I'm going to get like the flop cut.
Please don't.
Flop where cut, it's like you shaved, said cut, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that your head looks like a penis?
It's basically,
please don't do that.
I'm getting the dickhead and it's the shaved underneath, but like long on top.
I don't care
it's
for
real
it.
Silver chair.
We're
it's
not
going to
do
cool.
that. I never would tell my husband like how to dress or cut his hair, except if he wanted to do that. Will, in which case, I'm gonna put my foot.
She
down.
Will tell her husband, "Don't be a dickhead."
Yeah, please.
She
if
will.
You get that haircut, this marriage is over. We are. I'm yeah, sorry,
Darren.
I'm
sorry. I wouldn't go papers. That far.
Oh, I thought you meant our marriage.
No. I, okay. Oh, are we married?
I don't know. That's I'm so confused right now.
And it's such a blur.
I only just met you, Darren.
We're having a wild day.
Settle
here.
Down. This has been a good Friday night right here.
Oh my lord.
Shall we talk about the song that we're doing tonight, though?
Yeah, why not? Let's get into it.
So, Darren, this was based on your recommendation.
Yes, I've been, yeah.
So I asked you what type of stuff you like, and you listed a bunch of what can only be described as yacht rock.
Yeah.
That's like the music you grew up with. You said, like, that's what you were listening, your parents would play.
Yeah, I mean, as I got older, I listened to like a bunch of stuff, like, you know, hip hop, and then
we get it, Darren. You're cool.
Thank
okay.
you. All right, I just want to get it out there. I'm cool. Let the record
this
show.
And own the CNC Music Factory
Thank
album.
You. Gonna make you sweat. I mean,
gonna
come
make
on.
You sweat. Things that make you go.
Yeah,
and you got then, a bonus like, great song on that album, so that's even you know.
Yeah, better. It's good. I mean, I was into dance music back then, but like, you know, as I got older, I listened to like a lot of classic rock and alt rock and stuff. But when I was a kid, I listened to like a lot of. Stuff that my parents would play, so it was like a lot of, you know, stuff on Light FM and yacht rock stuff and stuff on The Quiet Storm.
Oh, yeah. Stuff
like, you know, like Peebo Bryson
was that
and
an
Sade.
SNL sketch?
What?
The Quiet Storm?
I think it was, but I mean,
was it a Tim Meadows sketch?
Oh, no, you're talking about The Ladies Man?
No.
But I think
somewhere else here.
I mean, it was based on, like, there's, like, if for people on the East Coast, there's, you know, who listen to WBLS. There's a thing like late night, like The Quiet Storm.
Yeah.
It's all like Luther Vandross and Sade.
Right, sure.
Like,
that's
know.
Mood music.
Yeah, mood. Yeah, yeah. Jeffrey absolutely. Osborne and stuff like that. And
oh, Darren's parents were listening to mood music.
Yeah. Wow. My parents are pretty hip. But then I'd also listen to like a lot of like, you know, 80s and 70s light rock. So like a lot of like, you know, Fleetwood Mac and Toto and Billy Joel.
Yes.
And stuff. Yeah, I rock it.
Fleetwood Mac, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah,
darn great. Too. And of course, you mentioned Christopher Cross, which Christopher I would love Cross. To get into at some point. But tonight we are here to discuss yes. Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Damn straight.
Mm-hmm. And their 1981 hit Private Eyes off of the album of the same name. So this song went to number one on Billboard's Hot 100, mm-hmm. number 33 on their Adult Contemporary, number 33 on Mainstream Rock, which I find odd.
I thought it would be higher on Adult Contemporary.
Seriously. Yeah. It is now, probably.
Yeah, yeah it's probably like number now. One Adult Contemporary today.
The album Private Eyes sold 1 million copies, also featured their hit song I Can't Go For That, No Can Do.
Amazing song.
Do you like that better than Private Eyes?
I do. I mean, I'll admit Private Eyes isn't my favorite.
Okay. Paul, no,
I mean, Maneater is amazing. I Can't Go For That. Sarah Smile, I like a
Sarah
lot.
Sarah Smile, that was like their first big one.
Yeah, you guys are missing the best song.
The one that we danced to as our first dance as a married couple, Katie?
Touch.
And what song was that?
What is it called?
You Make My Dreams, Katie.
I like how she tested you to see, make sure you knew.
That wasn't a test. I don't know the song titles.
You Make My Dreams, or as everybody calls it, You Make My Dreams
Come
True.
You Make My Dreams Come True.
As featured in the Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie, 500 Days of Summer. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Katie's boyfriend, by the way.
Yeah, oh. Yeah, that's my Jogo. Side piece.
He's a handsome man.
That's not your side piece.
He is a married man with children. Like, he doesn't.
He is?
He's
I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
I would say this song is also not as good as my favorite Hall & Oates song, Rich Girl.
Wait a second.
A good one.
Did you want to dance to Rich Girl
no,
at our wedding?
I don't want anything at our wedding to be like, she's a bitch girl. It's a bitch girl, exactly. Whatever.
Yeah, they threw in the line bitch girl in there.
You Make My Dreams close second.
Okay. Oh.
That's just a fun boppy song
that
I could listen to
it
any
is,
day of the week.
The bop or a bop, as my students might say.
Is that
that's
a slang?
Thing. That's
m-bop?
A thing. It's no, a kids m-bop. Are saying now, like, this is a bop. Oh, that's a bop. This is a bop.
I don't like it. I don't like it.
They don't say lit anymore? Like,
no,
this
they
is lit?
Still say lit.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry.
Oh, thank God.
Darren, we are out of touch.
A gentleman, a young gentleman this morning told me how lit something was. I wasn't listening that closely, okay? Unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay.
But something was lit this
was
morning.
Was it because of literature?
I have a mug that is Shakespeare wearing sunglasses that says, "I put the lit in literature."
Ooh,
that my friends bought me, and I do drink from it every day at school.
So,
coolest teacher ever.
Oh, boy.
The worst, most boring teacher.
It's unabashedly nerd. You just got to own it. You know that?
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So, Darren, this is not your favorite Hall & Oates song.
It's not my favorite Hall & Oates, but I do enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, Hall & Oates, I mean, they're an amazing duo. They're the most successful duo in history of music. They have like
They've released, I think, more albums than any other duo in music history.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was fortunate enough to see them live, like
really?
Yeah, surprise, surprise. Like about 2 years ago, they were playing at the PNC Bank Arts Center, and oh, well, I gotta see this. And like I remember it was 2 years ago because like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings opened for them. This is back before, you know, before she passed away, and she did an amazing show.
Obvious.
Yeah, of course. As soon as I said that, I was like, what?
Oh my God, Darren saw a ghost live in concert. It was amazing.
Pretty phenomenal.
It was better than that Tupac
hologram.
Phenomenal
actually a pun in that context.
Oh, wow. I didn't even realize.
Yes.
Wow, you are catching on things I'm not even picking up on.
He's a literature professor
he's
right
so
there.
He's so good at comedy, he's subconsciously punning right now.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Killing it.
I'm pretty wonderful, guys. Follow me on Twitter. At Darren Credible.
Darren Credible. D-A-R-I-N Credible.
But yeah, like I mean, I saw them in concert. It was an amazing they opened with Maneater. And like after that, I was like, whoa.
Now, they have a ton of hit songs.
A ton.
They have like a legit ton of hit songs.
Yeah.
Katie, which hit songs of theirs do you know?
Maneater. Rich Girl.
Okay.
This one.
Yeah.
The one we danced to at our wedding.
Yeah.
That is all.
Really? That's it?
You don't know Out of Touch, which we've referenced
twice now?
No, I don't know that song.
I'm out. That's a big hit.
Can you
Your Kiss is on my list.
I'm out of time.
I actually don't know that song.
My head when you're not around.
What about their version of Jingle Bell Rock?
I do not know the song Darren is singing.
You definitely know that song. I do not know it.
Oh,
I
boy.
Only
it's
know...
It's the worst video.
It's not good.
The video,
good video
we watched today was bad, but like Out of Touch is such a ridiculous video.
I won't defend the video, but right. It's a good song.
I hope to listen to the song later just to like have some context. I only know Your Kiss is on my list because you played it earlier today.
I did.
And then I forgot it existed even though my notebook says Your Kiss is on my list. And
Your Kiss is on that list. Take a picture of that now. I will. You used it
as the intro to the episode. We listened to it earlier and we talked about how the songs sound alike. And then used it as the intro. And yet between now and then, even though I wrote it down and I am taking a real time picture of it.
Nice.
Boom. Timestamp that.
We will post that on Instagram like 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wait for it. Which will be now for anyone who's
listening.
That's
a good point. Yeah.
Well, do you know like She's Gone or Sarah Smile?
Sarah Smile was really good.
It's like a... I mean, because they're from Philly. It has like a very Philly soul to it. Like something
I don't
like...
even know what Philly soul is.
Oh, boy.
New Jack Swing?
Sure.
I mean, that's
Motown Philly.
Back again.
It's like the precursor
Boys
to
Men.
Yeah. Like Philly soul is like Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes or like that type of like R&B group type of soul.
So these guys ended up on the... This is just something I read before. I wish I had written it down. Ended up on Billboard's R&B charts at number one, which for like a white group is rare. Is like super rare.
It is. It's like, I mean, I think it's one of the things like a lot of people, because like I remember when I was, before I went to the concert, like I put like, oh, I'm going to see Hall & Oates. It's dope. And like a lot of my white friends were like, oh, I'm black everywhere, if I don't know. But I told all my friends, and one of my white friends was like, oh, that's kind of white of you. And then I was like, no. Black people love Hall & Oates.
I know a handful of black people that like way into Hall & Oates.
Yeah.
It's because I think they have that like soul influence, that R&B influence behind them.
Yeah, it's very like it's one of the things like where black people can say, "Oh, they're really soulful and their stuff is really good." They've been on Soul Train. I mean, that's like
Hall & Oates was on Soul Train.
They were on a Soul Train. They did "I Can't Go for That," I believe. And like it's one of those things.
That's not a song I care for. By the way,
you don't like "I Can't Go for That"?
It's.
I mean, it was sampled by a lot of hip hop.
Would somebody sing it for me, please?
I can't go for that. No, can do. I can't go for that.
I wish I knew this song.
It's they better play than
it all. Can't go for that. Can't go for that. I do know this song. I do. I do.
You
I do.
Got the body.
Yeah. I know this song. Woo! I know it. Yeah, Darren.
I think that was the song where they ended up number one on the R&B charts.
It's a very funky, not funky, but it's very groovy type of song.
A lot of their stuff after this kind of it sounded more like that. Right. Like I Can't Go for That, No Can Do was on Private Eyes.
Right.
Their albums after that,
it gets a little bit more poppy and
I think it gets less poppy as time goes on. It gets more music focused.
I could see that.
So I don't know. There are my thoughts.
I just want to say that Darren told me earlier today that he was in the Glee Club in school.
My voice was higher when I was a kid.
That shit paid off, is what I'm saying.
Do you sing? Yeah. Are you a singer?
I used to sing a little bit, like when my voice was higher.
Yeah.
But like now, like I mean, I just sing for like
funsies.
Yeah, for fun, like karaoke type of.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh boy, I wrote a blog about this. My
that is serious.
Yeah, I actually did like years ago, like about like the best way to choose karaoke songs and stuff like that. Glory Days was a big one of mine.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
George Michael, Faith.
Okay.
George Michael, another person that like black people love that white people don't know about.
Faith is one of my fave songs ever.
It's an amazing song.
I'm not sure I know any other George Michael songs. I bet
Careless Whisper?
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's Wham.
Yeah, I know Wham
songs. But you know
songs.
Father Figure. Freedom.
You're right. Freedom. Oh, like, I love the song Freedom. Yeah. I'm not good at attaching artists and song titles to the piece of music. That like triumvirate doesn't happen in my brain.
Okay.
So I know a lot of songs, but I have no idea where they come from.
Okay.
But I love the song Faith. That's one of my favorite songs. And of course, Freedom is George Michael, and that's also a great song.
I think Limp Bizkit took Faith and really elevated it to a
I
think Weezer took Toto's Africa
they did is they carbon copied
Brad,
Africa.
Yeah.
You almost pushed me
to
non PG-13 language, right, which is not what I do here.
Correct. She was about to flip over this table, people.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was
I was gonna Teresa wake Judice this dog up and make a ruckus.
You couldn't wake that dog up.
No, he's
couldn't
might be
possibly
dead.
Wake that dog up unless you had food. In which case
he'd
you
could
wake that dog. Or a doorbell rang.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that really.
Yeah, I did that.
Thanks for ringing the doorbell.
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
What are we talking about?
I don't Private
know.
Eyes. They're
Private
watching you.
Eyes. So this song sounds exactly like Your Kisses on my list, in my opinion.
Your Kisses. Yeah.
I wouldn't say exactly.
This was their single directly after Your Kisses on my list.
Oh.
Different album.
Okay.
And based on what I was reading before, they were talking about just kind of like replicating that success and like growing as a band. So they basically took Your Kisses on my list and added hand claps so that, and it's become a huge concert song because the audience can clap along with that.
Yeah, people love clapping.
Yeah.
People love to clap, man. The Friends theme song.
Oh, sure.
Just clapping.
I would say my favorite part of the song is the clapping. I wrote down I heart, and the heart is very colored in.
Yeah, I see it.
The clapping in this song and the falsetto.
I don't disagree with you. I'm going to be honest. I love clapping along with the song.
Yeah.
Butch Walker. When we see him live.
And he makes us clap.
And
it's
he makes
amazing.
You clap. It's so much fun to get involved. When you saw Hall & Oates live.
Yeah.
The clapping when they played
this.
Was
there clapping?
There was clapping.
Was it like everybody there?
Of course. It's like it's absolutely a universal thing. Like we're all a community here. We're clapping as one.
In unison.
Yeah.
It's like you all know the words and the words are.
Like,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we great. Did that.
Yeah.
Great like, work, team.
Way to go, guys.
Way to go, guys. Good hustle out there.
We really nailed that. We've been 30 years of practice.
When did this song come out?
81.
Okay, yeah.
Year I was born, baby.
Hey. Ooh. I think I was like 4, but I was around.
Yeah.
Hey guys, I wasn't born yet because I'm like really young. Because I was born in 1982. So
We've done a couple of 82 songs. This is our first 81 song.
Yeah, the 82 songs, I always say that there's at least one thing worse in 1982 than my birth.
Yeah.
Whenever we do
Billy Joel's Pressure.
Song. And,
all right. Yeah, I won't defend that. I like Billy Joel, but
episode,
like.
Episode Abracadabra by Steve Miller Band is from 1982. And that's a terrible song that is definitely worse than my birth, like for sure.
I remember hearing that song when I was a kid all the time, and I liked it when I was a kid, but I'm sure if I go back and look on it, I'm like,
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
It's an upsetting song.
So, Darren, if I could ask you as our guest, would you do me the favor of reading us the chorus here?
Just the chorus.
Let's start with the chorus.
All right. Private eyes, they're watching you. They see your every move. Private eyes, they're watching you. Private eyes. They're watching you, watching you, watching you, watching you.
So, I get it.
Yeah.
They're watching you.
But do you?
Do I? So, clearly, it's a pun on private investigator.
Yes.
But I as in eyeball.
Mm.
Oh.
It says here in my notes, like, guitar solo by G.E. Smith.
Yes. From
Saturday Is that Night why Live. You like this song?
Yes, because... It's Saturday Night Live adjacent.
It's Saturday Night Live adjacent. It's why a great I like connection the between Hall & Oates and Saturday Night Live.
That's why I like Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters video.
No. First of all, disagree.
Paul Simon, You Can Call Me Al, has Chevy Chase in it.
That's a great.
Also, Brad loves Paul Simon.
Paul Simon's my favorite of all time. G.E. Smith dressed as an old lady playing a guitar solo in the Jingle Bell Rock video.
Oh, it's I gotta watch great. That again. I didn't know that.
So if I can just comment on Ray Parker Jr. for a moment.
Oh, wow. All right, here we go.
Because I am also a huge Huey Lewis and the News fan.
Nothing wrong with that.
And
it does sound like I want a new drug a little
Like,
bit.
That's the thing. So the producers of Ghostbusters, this is not at all related to Hall &
Oates. No, I thought we were finally going to talk about Private Eyes, and then we're just going in another direction.
I'm very aggressive. I've had a lot of B12.
Let him talk.
Let the man talk.
Let the man finish.
So the producers of Ghostbusters contacted Huey Lewis to write a song for Ghostbusters. He declined. So then they contacted Ray Parker Jr., who took I Want a New Drug, turned it into the Ghostbusters theme, got sued and lost for ripping off I Want a New Drug.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, it does sound like pretty kind of...
I want to do an episode on a Huey Lewis song.
You know what it doesn't sound like?
What doesn't it sound like?
Private Eyes. Shouldn't we talk about that?
Yes, let's talk about Private Eyes.
Oh, boy. So, Katie, what do you think of this chorus?
Well, like, when you look at the chorus, it just seems almost like a creepy stalker.
Sure.
That's like, watching you.
Like the police, Every Breath You Take?
It's got that Every Breath You Take vibe to it. Every move you make, I'll be watching you. Very creepy.
Yeah.
But I think once you get into the verses of this song, that's not really what's happening. So I don't think that for this song, the chorus is the greatest representation of like what's actually happening in the song.
Okay. Right. The chorus, there's not really a whole lot to it.
No, it's very simple.
Yeah.
Simple words, hand claps.
Those hand claps are like awesome.
As discussed, yes. Like hand claps, always great.
Yeah.
Always great. But the chorus also does say like, I'm watching you when you're not watching me.
That's not true though. Because as soon as you read verse one, you realize that the person being watched knows they're being watched and is in some respect watching back as well.
Like voyeurism.
Then what makes the eyes private?
So we got to get into the verses to get into this. But what's really going on in the song is that the speaker is watching someone he's romantically involved with. But they are out in public. And she's behaving a certain way publicly. But his private eyes are watching her. And they see through everything that she's doing that's a public show.
The private eyes see the real her.
Exactly. And that's what's happening in this song, which I never realized until like 2 hours ago.
I thought this song was much more of a creepy kind of thing.
I can see how it could be kind of stalkerish, but I don't think it's quite stalker. I think the lyrics are just ambiguous enough that it doesn't give you like a full stalker vibe.
I'm going to argue that the lyrics are not ambiguous.
Ooh.
And that my theory can easily be substantiated with textual evidence from the verses.
Okay.
Great. I look forward to it. So I do have to say this. I'm not like a huge Hall & Oates fan. They're fine in my book. But
they're not part of our love.
They are.
This is awkward again. Yeah. I'll show myself out.
I do think they are smart musicians. Mm. I think that musically, they do interesting things with their chord changes and their musicality. I think that lyrically, They're very clever. And although what they produce isn't always my cup of tea, I applaud their intelligence. It is smart. Like, Maneater is a smart song. Rich Girl is a smart song.
Yeah.
You know, this is a smart song. So it's odd having it on a show like ours.
Smart show.
Where.
We usually just shit talk things.
It's definitely a show. You're not wrong about that. You're batting 500 with that.
I mean, like, last week we did Adam's Family Groove and we just like shit talked it.
Oh, yeah.
There was no way to defend it.
That's not a smart song. That is not a smart song. These are smart guys putting music together. And even though it's not always my cup of tea,
right?
I got to give a lot of credit to these guys.
This isn't their best work.
It's certainly not.
It's catchy.
It is
catchy. I would say, like, it's not a great song.
I could do without the verses entirely, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's all about the chorus.
Couldn't even sing the verse to you if I tried.
I have read these lyrics probably 3 or 4 times over the past couple days. I don't remember any of them.
I remember the lyrics. I have no idea what the melody of the verse is. Would be at all. I know the chorus, obviously, because I've been singing along to it nonsensically for like 20 years.
But that's what made this a number one hit, was that chorus.
Yeah.
So this song was, of course, written by 4 people. Daryl Hall, his then-girlfriend, Sarah Allen, for whom the song Sarah Smile was named.
Oh, interesting.
Yep.
Look at me learning.
See? Her sister, Joanna Allen, she also co-wrote the Hall & Oates songs Did It in a Minute and Method of Modern Love. She's worked with Cheap Trick and Joan Jett. By the way, Method of Modern Love.
That's the one that's on... Yeah, that's the one that Wu-Tang sampled for the Method Man.
Oh, boy. That's a garbage song.
Oh, what? You don't like Method Man?
No, I don't like Method of Modern Love.
Oh, okay.
M-E-T-H-O-D-O-F-L-O-V-E. That's Method a garbage song.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Cheap Trick and Joan Jett. Sarah Allen also co-wrote You Make My Dreams, Katie. I Can't Go For That and
Did you
Man
just
Eater.
Say You Make My Dreams, Katie?
Oh, my God.
That's not the name of the song. Oh, I just want you to know. That's not.
Darren, I'm sorry that this is what's happening.
This
I love
into,
it.
Like,
I love seeing
mush,
love.
Mush gush.
the house is mended.
I feel very awkward.
Don't be awkward around love, man.
Hey. M-E-T-H-O-D. And Warren Pash, Posh, P-A-S-H. I don't know how to pronounce
Pache.
That. Pache, probably.
Probably that's it. Yeah.
I just made that up. I don't know. That's
who.
Right.
Has worked with Carole King and Patti LuPone, Katie.
Ooh. Oh, weird.
But this was the song that made him kind of a big deal in the Nashville songwriter circuit. So.
It made his dreams come true, would you say that?
No.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Could
cool.
he go for that? I don't know. I was trying to find another song.
We're
really trying to find another one to wedge in this thing.
How many Hall & Oates references?
Let's just crowbar some in.
Let's just crowbar some in right there.
It made him a rich girl?
It made him a rich girl. I think we've done it.
That's it.
Great pronouns there.
Yeah, by the way, you did really a good job.
Killing it.
That was an adjective and a noun. It wasn't a pronoun. Well, him is girl? A pronoun. A girl is just a noun. That's not a pronoun. Look, don't test me.
Oh, boy.
I get it.
Were just on good footing. Now going back to fighting.
I've really messed this episode up, guys, and I apologize.
No, we're doing a great job.
Katie, do you want to go ahead and read verse 1?
Yes, I would love to read verse 1. I see you. You see me. Watch you blowing the lines when you're making a scene. Oh, girl, you've got to know. What my head overlooks, the senses will show to my heart when it's watching for lies. You can't escape my, and then it goes into the chorus, private eyes. Are watching you, private eyes.
I'm sorry, I was a minute off.
Darren, you're clearly not a
sorry, I was thinking about something else. I apologize.
That's pretty good, though.
I dropped the ball there. That's what
I thought it was cool.
So let's talk about this verse. Blowing the lines, Katie.
Cocaine.
Is that cocaine or is it just like blowing like you're speaking lines? Like,
I think it's supposed to be a double entendre.
Oh, okay. I mean, blowing the line, that's easy, like cocaine,
sure.
Like blow.
Yeah.
I especially thought it could also mean like.
Especially in the 80s.
Yeah, of course.
If you're blowing a line in the 80s, like you're definitely doing cocaine.
Right.
All right. Okay.
But I think, Darren, I wouldn't discount your interpretation because like I think there is a double entendre there. Maybe she's fumbling through a conversation at a party.
Yeah, exactly. She's blowing her line.
Yeah. Yeah. She's already, she's practiced these things. And
but she's also like, it's she's blowing her lines because she's so coked up that she's making a scene.
That's true.
So, Katie, you argued that it's not a creepy song.
Yeah.
Tell us again what your theory about what the song is about here.
So I think there are a couple. And they're out somewhere in public, and he's looking at her in public, and he knows that what's really going on with her, like, he knows, excuse me, what's really going on with her, no matter what she's projecting on the outside. So, like, his eyes, which know her privately,
yeah,
are seeing through a public facade.
Interesting.
And that's what I really think the song is about. Now, the first line of verse one says, I see you. You see me. So at least we know he's not watching her without her knowledge.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Whomever is watching her, the speaker that's watching her, is doing so in a way that's private between the two of them based on the chorus, okay, but that is not a secret from her. She knows it's happening. And he's watching her blow her lines, and she knows. So there's a relationship between them. They're not strangers because as this is happening, she knows that what his head overlooks, his senses will show to his heart. So like in that moment, forgive me if I'm going on here.
No.
I say bring it on.
I'm being taken to school here.
So I think she's doing coke at this party and she's making a fool of herself. And he's watching from the sidelines and he's trying to overlook it. He's trying to like logically talk himself out of like, she's just having fun. Like it's not a big deal. But his heart is going to expose to him sort of like his real feelings about what's happening. So when you make a scene, oh, girl, you've got to know. And he's saying to her, like, you have to know that when we're out in public, I know you. I know you better than these other people we're with. So I see what's really going on. And even when I try to overlook it with my mind, my heart is going to show it to me. It's watching for lies that you can't escape my private eyes.
Ooh.
So like whatever facade, the lies she's putting on, he's going to see the truth of the matter, which indicates that they have to know each other. And there are two references to her knowing that that's happening in the first verse.
So is this relationship over?
I don't think the relationship is over. I think there is just a conflict in the relationship where he loves her very much, it seems from the song, because he says that like he's trying to even overlook her behavior, but he can't. But there's something that she is doing when they're out in public that is, I don't know, putting him in a position where he feels like he has to watch her from the sidelines.
Huh, interesting.
Wow.
I'm never speechless. but it makes sense.
It does.
So
this is what I do.
Well, that's
guys.
Great. Way to go. Way to teach.
Wow.
Teach.
Thanks, Teach.
Yowzers.
I have to ask, so Darren, when you, because you picked the song, and
I
like
did.
No judgment, because literally I never thought about this song. I definitely thought this was a stalker song before today.
I mean, I can understand that because Private Eyes, like it has, it invokes the vision of like, you know, somebody in a trench coat and fedora.
That's what they're wearing in the video.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Like, just like going in the streets and at night and just peeking in at people.
See an old black and white movie where like some detective is heating up a can of beans on a hot plate, you know? Like...
That's a hobo. What are you talking about?
Hobos?
That's a homeless person.
Hobos and detectives.
That's a homeless person.
First of all, no. Homeless people in old black and white movies heat up their beans over like a trash can fire.
Yeah.
Not a hot plate. In an office building.
You're talking about somebody with like a bindle and a stick popping the rails.
You're making me private think of Mice and Men right now. You're giving me a real like a bindle bum of Mice and Men vibe at the moment.
Or even like Pee Wee's Big Adventure at that one part where he was riding the rails.
I was afraid of that movie.
Large Marge?
He got in the van with Large Marge in that part where her eyeballs popped out of her head. It was
the most
frightening thing I've ever seen.
Tim Burton scared the bejesus out of a whole generation of children.
But in like an adorable way.
Phone. That's a Tim Burton movie?
Yeah, it's his first movie.
What?
Did you not? Okay.
Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, it's his first movie.
Guys,
it's a Tim Burton joint.
His first feature length.
First feature length.
No tidbits. I don't do tidbits or trivia. That's clearly not what I do.
Well,
there you go. Just dropping a little knowledge. Now I'm teaching the teacher. How about that?
Tim Burton does
and
like
the teacher
goreless...
has become the student once again.
Tim Burton does like goreless horror.
Yeah, but it makes perfect sense that was Tim Burton. I can sure. see it. If yeah. I think about it now, I had no idea up to this moment.
The more you know.
Wow.
NBC, Saturday Night Live.
Bringing it back. So, Darren, though, when you picked this song and you were thinking about it, you were thinking about it in the context of like a stalkery sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I could sort of. Yeah, I looked it up. I was trying to figure out what the song meant. And I think it's like, I think it was like on Wikipedia or something like that. But it said like it was, the song was supposed to evoke like a film noir type of feel about like a person who was unsure about their partner's, like they didn't know if their partner was like being true to them or something like that. So,
ooh, so Wikipedia, the best source out there, validates yeah. my theory.
Exactly. But then I think that it also flips to saying, well, maybe the person who's not sure about their person's fidelity also has something that they're hiding too. Like, I do think it's a little bit ambiguous. Some of the lyrics a little bit. So you don't know exactly.
Do we think like fidelity is the issue though?
I didn't personally.
Really?
Well, now that I did before. But to be honest, based on your breakdown just now, Katie, I don't think fidelity is the problem. I think it's other relationship issues.
Yeah.
It's a couple that doesn't want to stay together, that is just kind of staying together for show.
Ooh, disagree.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Disagree.
Oh.
I think it's
Darren,
a couple.
You've driven a wedge into this.
God damn, I did it again. I'm sorry, guys.
This was a happy marriage. We just bought a home. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding. We did
invite
just buy
you
a home.
To our house and you destroy our marriage.
I'll show myself out again. I'll show
you
myself
podcast
out.
Podcast us.
This is great.
You play me. With our dog.
Follow me on Twitter at Darren Credible.
I really like the Twitter handle Darren Credible.
I got the idea because my wife is big into cartoons, and when we were dating, one of her favorite cartoons was The Adventures of Kim Possible.
Kim Possible, Darren Credible.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I got it. I was like, oh, that's kind of a clever
I would
name.
Have thought it was from a professional wrestler, Justin Credible.
Oh, no, I didn't know. There's a professional wrestler called Justin Credible?
Yeah, man, there was.
Oh, so it's already been done?
No,
Darren
that was just.
Okay.
This is Dare.
Totally different.
Totally different.
It's a totally different Credible.
Absolutely.
This is
your Huey Lewis. I want to do.
I'll look for the fidelity references to see if I can find any in there. But like at first glance, fidelity didn't seem to be the primary issue to me.
Well, can I tell you what Daryl Hall said?
Please do.
This was in an interview back when the album came out. This wasn't about this song specifically. It was about the songwriting on the album, Private Eyes. He said, quote, if you want to understand what we're talking about, read between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this goes back to...
I'm going to argue that I am reading between the lines.
Ooh. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Good.
Oh, boy.
Whoa, who's aggressive now, Katie? Have you been doing the B12 vitamin?
No, I've been doing the Cabernet.
The Cabernet will do it, yeah. That'll get you there.
It's hot in here.
I've been doing the beer quite a bit. But it goes back to what I was saying about them being like smart songwriters.
Yeah.
It's not in your face what the song is about. Like we're only just now, the three of us, 37 years later.
Right.
Putting the pieces together.
Putting the pieces together. Like this is a subtle, smart song.
Yeah.
So
it almost doesn't deserve our attention.
It almost does not. We're going to have to not release this episode.
What?
No, we'll do it. We'll release it, Darren.
But it came all this way.
Darren is like, I'm pretty sure this is not a great song. Darren, and that's why I picked it.
Darren drove close to 8 minutes.
He's like, I drove across the same town we all live in to get here.
I drove a full 5 minutes to get here. Come
it's
on,
important.
Now.
No, it definitely is coming out. And
yeah,
that no.
I mean, I like the song. It's not my favorite song, but I do like the song. I'll admit that.
It's not a bad song. Like,
it's not a bad song, no.
I'm telling you, like, I could do without the verses. I could just go chorus and claps and be like, okay, yeah, I can get behind Private Eyes.
I think if you ask the average person what are the lyrics to Private Eyes, they have no idea.
Not a clue.
But they all know the...
I read the lyrics multiple times this week. I don't remember any of them.
That's
aside
even
from blowing
the second
lines.
Time that you said that today.
Did I say that already?
Yeah. Wow. You didn't even remember you said that already.
See, the lines are so not memorable. Like, even talking about it isn't memorable.
Yeah.
That's true. Insane.
That's where this song Meta. Falls, huh?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Guys, I've been drinking a lot of beer tonight.
It's not that much beer.
It's not that much beer.
You've had one beer.
But I am a lightweight. I should have it. I should let it be known that all I had for dinner tonight was leftover soup and a kale salad.
Oh boy!
So, ooh, you never even had a pork chop.
I never even had.
Oh no!
Oh jeez, Louise.
Life is hard, guys. Yeah. If I go ahead and read verse 10?
I think yes. You should. Yeah, I think you should.
Let's go.
You play with words. You play with love. You twist it around, baby. That ain't enough.
Go on. What? Are you all right?
Katie's laughing at the mic.
Okay.
Because, girl, I'm going to know if you're letting me in or letting me go. Don't lie when you're hurting inside, because you can't escape my...
private eyes, they're watching you.
Damn it. I was late on again. I knew it was coming, and I'm sorry.
Do you guys want to try again? I'll say it again.
I missed practice.
Yeah.
Private eyes, they're watching you. That was beautiful. There we beautiful. Go.
That worked still got a lot it. Better.
The kids still got it.
Suck it, Glee Club. That's like, right. I'm back, baby.
I'm back, baby.
So if you guys were my students, this is where I'd throw it back to you and say, like, well, if you look at verse 2, could you see the theme that we've been talking about? And well, if you hate me for that, you know, it's fine.
I do, yeah.
You're saying, well, she plays with words, plays with love, twist it around. That's like, isn't that kind of like worrying about somebody's fidelity or what their intentions are in this
or relationship? Or she's just like manipulating what you've said.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or like... even you play with words, you play with love, you twist it around, baby. They're one way in private, but in public, they act. She acts totally differently. It feels to me like maybe they're at a social event. She's across the room. Huh. She's blowing these lines of coke. And he's like, wait a second. This isn't what we're like when we're home alone. Why are you twisting it all around and messing with like the good thing we have when we're
so you're standing by the together. Like they're at a party.
It feels, I don't know if it's just the coke.
Or a social gathering.
It feels like they're at a social gathering. It feels like there's a public-private juxtaposition happening in the song.
I'm going to say I'm on board with your analysis here.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Cool. I think you are.
So what about the line, if you're letting me in or letting me go?
I think that gets to like the larger relationship issue. Like, imagine you're with, like you're married, right? We won't talk about your wife. But okay. I'm sure she's a lovely lady. But like, imagine you're out with your partner. And this doesn't have to be you, Darren, but anybody listen. Imagine you're out with your partner and you get somewhere and all of a sudden, like, they're across the room and you're not together and you see them kind of putting on a show that is not the person you know them to be. That could be hurtful in some way. And then I see that as a justification of this feeling of, I'm going to know if you're letting me in or you're letting me go. Like here, I'm watching you. And at some point in watching this behavior, I'm going to get the idea. I'm going to know if this relationship is going somewhere, you're letting me in, or this is just an indication that it's not going to work. You're letting me go.
Now, you said before that you don't think this is a relationship falling apart.
No. You said a relationship that was over. I don't think it's over. Okay. I think it's having major problems.
Gotcha. Because when it gets to the point of if you're letting me in or letting me go, it seems like they are on the cusp of breaking up.
He's on the cusp,
up.
At least.
Yeah.
That makes actually, now that you say that and I look at the bridge, that makes a lot of sense that you say that. So I think you're onto something there.
Oh my gosh, I made a song that might have sounded like garbage a good song.
Katie, this is a song that you probably didn't realize existed until like
I love singing along with the chorus of this song. That's all I knew about it up until this point.
Yeah. I mean, why did they write verses for this song?
Because the verses tell the actual story we're talking about.
Yeah.
If I just listened to the chorus, I thought it was something totally different.
I wrote a blog about that too, like where there's like all these happy songs that people like love for years. But if you listen to them, like they're kind of like talk about some tragic stuff.
Hey Ya.
Like Hey Ya. Hey Ya is the
perfect example.
Yeah.
Like he's talking about like people breaking up.
Yeah.
What else did I read? Oh, that song by Force of the People, Pumped Up Kicks.
Pumped Up Kicks about the shooting.
That's a very dark song. And it, Born in the USA, that song.
Exactly. People think that's a happy song.
People think it's a patriotic song, and they play it at like the 4th of July. And it's like, have you listened to any other words beyond Born in the USA?
If I recall correctly, Ronald Reagan tried to use that as like his official campaign song.
It's so weird. It's like it's a song about somebody being disillusioned all of it. Like he went out to war and like he's back and
being drafted kind of like against your will. The same thing happened with John Mellencamp's Pink Houses.
Yeah.
Like
that is not a happy song either.
Not very much so. Or from your boyfriend's 500 of Summer when he sang Train in Vain, the Clash song. That's like a downer of a song, but everybody thinks it's a great song.
No, it's a super downer song. I love when he sings that song.
That's not a good karaoke song though.
No. It's one of those things like when you're singing karaoke and you're like you don't realize it. Oh wow, this is really about a man breaking down. About
that is a song where
I need
like,
new clothes, I need somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
You said you love me. That's a fact. But then you left me. Oh, God. Yeah. I love The Clash.
Yeah.
Love The Clash. The only band that matters. That is their official tagline.
Oh, is that their tagline? That's not their tagline. Like, Brad, that's really
that's not
like
an official statement.
Some people are about to come in here and like challenge you about that.
Yeah. You bet they will.
Wow, what was that?
I was going to say, like, what are the other musicians you love?
I think of
say?
All, like, the late 70s, early 80s, like, punk movement, The Clash was the best by far.
I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm. Police on My Back, their version of I Fought the Law, Train in Vain. Rock the Casbah is a deeper song. Casbah, and, like, you know, Magnificent Seven.
Oh, I love that song.
Oh, man.
Or
so
Guns of Brixton, I always like. Yeah.
Hey, Brad's been to Brixton.
Where do we go to Brixton?
We went to Brixton and we went to that like food market with Anna and John and Alice. Okay. Alice and Anna had just gotten the same pair of glasses and we ate like burgers or something.
I don't remember anything about their glasses.
Yeah.
All right.
Fun side notes.
Fun side notes.
Hey, you know who will care about that maybe a little bit? Joe Shipley, because at least he knows those
Joe
people.
Joe Shipley would care about that. Yeah, he knows where Brixton is.
And he also knows where Brixton is. That's true. Just...
All right. Darren, I love the fact that you just gave a shout out to Joe.
Yeah, I've never met him. He's a total stranger to me.
Nobody's met him. He's a
Well, like
phantom.
A few people have met him.
Katie and I have met him.
He's a real person.
Okay. He's not like a imaginary friend of yours.
No.
He doesn't live in Canada.
He lives in London.
I see.
Yeah. Okay.
He listens to the show and loves hearing himself shouted out.
So, okay.
Hey, Joe.
To anybody else listening, when anyone American has someone in Canada, that's just a fake person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a boyfriend and girlfriend in Canada, that's the boyfriend or girlfriend you made up.
For your international fans, I didn't know if anyone knew that.
Lovely country. This song.
Yes, back to the song.
Private
Eyes. This is the song we're talking
Darren,
about.
Remember this song that you love?
Yeah, I do.
Can you read us the bridge?
Yeah. Sure can.
I got to pay attention to the bridge because Darren just told us my theory makes sense if you think about the bridge, and I haven't.
The bridge. All right, so after the guitar solo by G.E. Smith.
According to the Genius lyrics.
The bridge goes, "Why are you trying to put up a front for me? I'm a spy, but on your side, you see.
You see what I'm talking about? You see what I'm talking about?
On your side, really?
Slip on into any disguise. I'll still know you looking into my
private eyes. They're watching you.
Oh, wow.
You did it again.
Nailed it. You nailed it that
Zing-a-roo.
Time. You really
Zing-a-roo. Like,
yeah.
Zing-a-roo.
I'm ready for the pros. I'm ready to go. Pretty go national.
Any professional clapping.
Brad, can you explain how the bridge proves my point?
No. I want to point out how weird it is to write this song with your then girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was this close to their breakup? I mean,
no,
I
they broke up in 2001.
Oh, baby.
20 years later.
They stayed together after this?
Well, they were just good at imagining them. This was an imaginary thing,
oh, boy.
I have to assume then.
Yeah, or they like, oh, no, this isn't about you, honey. This is about a former relationship I was in.
And so they're both saying to each other, this is a problem. And what was your point?
I asked you if you... So my point was that this is about, I'll say it again, a couple who's in a public place, but he's looking at her with his private knowledge of her, knowing that she's putting on a facade, but whatever she's projecting to the outside world, he can see through it.
Yeah. So I get that with the first line, why you try to put up a front for me.
Duh. Well, I just like channeled your mother.
Would you ever?
Your mom says, wow. This is getting Freudian.
We just got like straight up psychological on this podcast.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Derek.
I'll show myself out.
I will like show that. Myself out.
Let's all go out.
I'll just stay here, guys. I'm sorry.
Cooper, come on. Let's go out.
His Copper. Name is Copper. Copper. How Copper. Oh, dare shit. You?
Sorry. That's my mistake.
He's not moving. He's okay. Asleep on the couch. So. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Copper.
But the problem I have is I'm a spy, but on your side, you see.
Yeah.
He's spying on her, but he's... on her, he's with her. He's not like against her.
But then, why is he spying?
I don't know.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You do know.
Do I? Talk me through it. he's spying on her to see why, like the real her, and like why she may be behaving in this manner. Like she doesn't have to do that because like they're on the same team, but she's acting in the manner.
So he's telling her like, I just wanna say, like, you can be real with me.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to behave this way.
I just straight up teachered you guys because you had a question and you know what I didn't do? I didn't answer it.
There's a problem.
Katie, I got straight B's in English in high school. All right.
Yeah, and you got an A in English in college. I know.
I did, yeah.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Bragging.
I only went for a year.
Okay.
Didn't care for college, but got an A in your writing class.
You play with words.
I play with lives, love.
Yeah. That was amazing.
But yeah, you guys are right. Your analysis is dead on. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Slip on into any disguise. I'll still know you looking. So like you can behave however you want. I'll still know who you really are.
He just wants to win this girl back.
That's ultimately what he wants. Totes invested in this
relationship. He wants to rekindle the fire that was once there.
I can see that.
Do you think Sarah went for it?
For 20 years and then they split up.
20 more years.
I think it's something really sad. There's something really sad about this song because you have a speaker who is trying to communicate to someone that he loves. Like, you don't have to pretend like I see you no matter what's happening.
Yeah.
But she's out there like putting on a front of some kind.
Yeah.
And we don't know what the motivations of that are. We don't know why she's doing it. We just know that the person who is invested in her feels like she doesn't have to do that. And it's really sad to think about him like on the sidelines, watching her do things that don't feel natural or true to the person that he knows her to be. Yeah, I think there's this like, I never thought of this as a sad song before, but I think it's actually a sad song.
I've never thought of it as a sad song. Now I'm bummed out. Wow, this is
amazing. Well, that's what I aim to do with all of my literary teaching is to just bum people out as much as possible.
Well, you know.
Oh, you really brought that. You really brought
gotta
it
have
down.
A cause, I guess.
Yeah, when I bring down the house, I like bring down the house because we're sad. Not like I bring down.
No, you just burn the house.
I just
from the,
burn the house down.
Burning down the house.
I have
that's
been
a great
asked.
Song.
It's an amazing song. Oh,
more than
talking
once,
heads,
Miss Whitley, but are we going to read anything that's not depressing this year? And the answer's always no, kids.
Yeah, we'll read You Make My Dreams. How about that? All right,
yeah.
We'll read that. That's
we'll
a,
read
that's
that.
A happy,
it'll be fun.
That's a bop, as the kids say. Yeah,
now listen to this Cure album and then get back to me in a
never do that to yourself.
I would never
listen
do that.
Listen to the Cure's greatest hits.
Listen to all of Disintegration and then get back to me in a report.
If you can hold it together.
I'm not trying to ruin children.
Okay.
Can we agree that this is a better song than Your Kisses on My List?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I mean, I like them both, but this is...
Your Kisses on My List is like a candy, like just saccharine sweet, like candy pop hit.
It's very sweet.
This took the tune of Your Kisses on My List and gave it more substance.
I'll give you that.
This song is a little bit deep. And way less gross than I thought it was. I thought it was a gross song.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
Yeah, it's not some Peeping Tom.
I totally thought it was a Peeping Tom.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, and you generally don't dislike Peeping Tom songs.
No, I love Three.
Yeah.
What's Three?
Three
is a prog rock band.
And they talk about Peeping Tom.
There's one song.
They have a couple of very creepy songs.
There's one song called Astronaut. That's all about a guy who's like watching a lady undress through the window.
Oh, I don't think I know that one.
No, it wasn't a hit.
Jeez Louise.
So there's no other lyrics to this song, right? No, it's just like a lot of chorus going on after
just hand claps and chorus.
Guys, I think we did a really good job of literary analysis, and I'm proud of all of us.
Yeah, I think we did. I'm glad there were not a whole lot of factoids about this song. Because
I mean, G. Smith was in it, and
G. Smith, excellent guitarist.
Yeah. Oh, did you look up how Hall & Oates met?
Yeah, in at Temple University in the middle of a fight.
Yes,
they both broke up a fight together.
What? I didn't hear they broke up a fight. I heard they were running away from a fight.
What I read earlier today was they both stepped into a fight to like break it up.
See, I heard that. Yeah, I heard they were like in a battle of the band because they both went to Temple University in Philly, and like they were both in different bands. And like apparently there was like some gang violence happening. That like there was like two rival gangs that went to this battle of the bands as gangs do. And like so, and apparently
it's a classic gang story.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like, absolutely. West Side Story stuff. Yeah. And like apparently there was like some fight broke out and there was like gunshots and like everybody just like scattered and like both of them ran into the same, I guess, like service elevator or freight elevator to escape. And then that's how they met. They just kind of
great.
And then they talked, and they realized
40 years later, they realized they went to
the same college, and they liked the same music, so they're just like, oh, let's hang out some more. And so, like through gang violence, a friendship was formed.
See, that's just beautiful. Another great thing that gang violence has brought us.
Thank you. Right? Yeah, why is the news talking about that?
It brought us Snoop Dogg, Tupac,
N.W.A.,
Hall and Oates,
bandanas. They made bandanas.
First of all, bandanas are back in.
What?
In the '90s, they were in, so they're back in now, right?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, I think so. Kids aren't allowed to wear them at school, so that probably means they are back in.
I have an orange bandana.
Oh.
Controversial.
I don't know
if it is.
What gang is that? Like
the cooking Halloween.
Find out,
gang.
I guess. just as cooks in orange bandanas, baby. Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to talk about the video?
The video. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Yeah. 1981.
Yeah. It's like done. It's like looked like it was done in a studio on like a blue screen.
It
just
sure was.
In a black box, basically. Yeah.
So the basic story of the video is Hall & Oates hated making music videos. They felt like it took away from the music itself.
I can see that.
So they hired a director, Jay Dubin, D-U-B-I-N, who also hated music videos.
Huh. Perfect. No one wants to be there.
Yeah. Basically, so that like, let's just get this churned out so that we can put it on MTV and increase our album sales.
Okay.
Pretty simple mentality, right?
Right.
Jay Dubin said, quote, there was no plan. He goes on to say, quote, okay, everybody sing. Point the cameras at them. Okay, now do a close-up. Now we'll do this. Now we'll do that. All right, I'll have it to you tomorrow morning.
So, and it shows.
They basically just like had like a studio with like a black backdrop. They had trench coats and hats.
Well, yeah. Hall and Oates had two different outfits. There were shots where they all matched.
Right.
Right.
And shots where Hall and Oates, one was wearing a like a lime green suit, and the other one was wearing a white suit and hat. Who's Mustache Man?
Oh,
that's Don Oates.
Yeah, man.
That's Oates. Okay.
Fake Gary Delabate.
Yes. So
he was in a white suit sometimes, which means Hall was in a lime green suit sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hall is the blue-eyed soul.
That gentleman, Mr. Oates, had one of the sweetest stashes
I
have ever seen.
That stash.
In my 36 years.
Katie, do you know who Gary Delabate is?
No, of course I don't.
Okay.
You don't listen to Howard Stern?
No, actually, I really don't like Howard Stern.
Oh. Okay, well, then you wouldn't know Gary
Delabate. Brad loves Howard Stern.
You don't know who Baba Booey is?
Yeah, I know who Baba Booey is.
That's fake John Oates.
What?
Yeah. They look so similar.
They look very similar.
I've never seen Baba Booey, though.
Oh,
I've only like heard him on the radio.
We will post a picture of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm down with it.
He looked just like John Oates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's very
so you know what John Oates looks like.
Yes, I do. With his sweet, sweet stash.
It's a sweet stash. That's that mustache.
That was like a serious mustache.
That was his thing in the 80s. Like,
he also had a sick mullet happening, too.
He did. It was like a curly, beautiful, Kenny Powers type of mullet.
It does look like Kenny Powers. I was going to say Eric LaSalle from
Coming to America.
So Blow, yes.
That was curlier. Daryl,
yeah.
That was curlier.
Yeah. That's definitely where he got that look.
Yeah.
It's a thing of beauty, that mullet. I mean, Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, indeed.
Here I go again.
So that was the best part of the video to me was when Mr. Oates was in his white suit.
Right.
And his stash was everything.
Wow, that really hypnotized you, that stash.
And I didn't, well, because then.
Understandably.
There was such a close-up.
I get it.
Like, he was so close to the camera, and he was doing a lot of, like, eyebrow work, and he has very thick eyebrows.
As an actress, Katie is going to tell you about the eyebrow work.
There was so much eyebrow movement, and the stash was everywhere. And then it cut back to all of them in trench coats, and Hall's, like, in the close-up, like, he's right in front of the camera, and Oates is just, like, peeking out from behind him, and he's all mustache and eyebrows. It's amazing. Like, yoo-hoo, here I am. That's right. And I was like, this is the greatest music video I've ever seen.
It's pretty tremendous.
It's pretty amazing.
It's pretty simple, yeah.
You
but
thought...
It's no Out of Touch, Katie.
Oh, Out of Touch is...
I don't know anything about it.
Oh, you should... You don't know that song?
No, you must have heard it. You sang it for me, and I still didn't know it.
You must have heard it. You're out of touch. You're out of time. But I'm out of my head when you're not around. Oh, boy.
That's good. That was wait.
What are you telling me you don't sing anymore?
I think you really, all right. Once in a while.
Every once in a while when you appear on a podcast or karaoke.
Yeah, I mean, I...
But
I
also, it might just be from when you sang it before. I'm not sure.
They have a bunch of, like, oversized instruments, and it's just, like, super cheese. As we've discussed,
it's a big ball
not
of gouda.
On microphone. Like, yeah. This video is like a big ball of gouda, as Darren just said.
All right.
It's so gouda.
Punning again. So much punning.
Killing it. Big pun, they call me.
Oh. Well,
guys, what are we doing with this song? I actually think this is a good song.
I like it, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and do something that I don't do very often. And I'm going to give this song an A.
An A?
I'm giving the song an A.
I don't disagree with you. I think it deserves an A.
I actually think the writing is subtle and interesting.
You know, every once in a while, you read a good book that's just not your cup of tea.
Mm.
And yeah. I feel like that's where this song falls for me.
Like, there is something going on in this song. It's clear and consistent, but not obvious.
Right.
And I appreciate that. A. Solid A for Hall & Oates.
So, windows down, radio up.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Darren? Yeah.
I would have given this song like a B, but after your spot on analysis and making me think about this song more, I may have to crank it up to an A.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was just like a whatever song, you know, hand claps are cool. But now, like, as we got deeper into it, I'm like, oh, there's all this context I didn't think about before.
Hand claps are just the hook to reel you in.
That's exactly.
There's something going on under the surface. You just have to take the time to think about
There's
it.
There's meat on this bone. That
absolutely. Yeah.
I was shocked, by the way. Could not be more surprised.
This is how we learn.
Thank you, Darren. No, like, seriously.
No, thank you.
Better as a people right there. So you're driving around. This song comes on the radio. Windows down, radio up, singing along.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
No matter where I'm at.
I don't think I would turn it up. I think I would leave it on.
Oh, I would turn it up.
Would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be more likely to turn up Rich Girl or You Make My Dreams.
Yeah. I might turn them up just slightly louder, but it's all getting an elevated volume for me.
Way to go, Hall & Oates. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Like, these guys deserve respect.
Some kudos.
They're the most pop. They're the most one. What was the word?
Successful.
Successful. That's the word. The most successful music duo in history. So.
Which is like Simon and Garfunkel is my favorite.
How is Simon and Garfunkel not more successful?
I think because they didn't stay together.
It was like 7 years that they were together.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Their catalog of songs in that 7 years though is insane.
Yeah. And plus, how many of those songs that they came out with hit were like number one on the charts? Like,
it's a good point.
I mean, I know they were huge and they were big, but like, I mean, how.
I think Hall & Oates only had 3 number one hit songs.
Nah, they had. Hall & Oates?
Yeah.
What?
No, they must have more than one. Like a
number one hits?
Number one hits.
Or just like top 10 hits.
Huh, all right.
They had a boatload of hits, like legit hits. Yeah, sure.
All right. Maybe only 3.
But. I mean, regardless, like, you can't deny them their place in music history. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees.
Yeah.
So.
Darn tootin'.
Not just rock and roll, but like, as we've learned, R&B.
Yeah.
They were on the R&B Soul Train. Trends. Yeah.
Black people like them. You know, right up there.
So many things about Hall & Oates that I didn't know that I learned today.
Yes.
Good.
Good. Yeah.
It was worthy of this program, but we have done so many good songs.
Well, listen,
recently.
We've got it on for like an hour and 20 minutes, I'm going to still release the episode.
There you go.
We're doing it.
I had a lot of fun recording it. Does that count?
Yeah, and I hope everyone realizes at this point we just do whatever we want, and it doesn't have to be bad songs anymore. It's
do
whatever
we want to do, say what we want to say,
play what we want to play, what we want to play.
That sounds familiar.
The Addams Family.
So, Darren, before we take off, can you just again just tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find your podcasts, plural?
Okay.
I hiccuped in the middle of that.
So I have two podcasts. My newest one, it's called the SNL Nerd. I do it with comedian John Trumbull. We talk about SNL, Saturday Night Live, all the way through. We review the latest episode. We talk about old SNL episodes, the history of SNL, all things Saturday Night Live. You can find that on Non-Productive. It's on the Non-Productive Network, so if you go to non-productive.com, you can listen to it. It's also on iTunes and Stitcher. And my older podcast, The Virgin Chronicles, where me and my buddy Evan Morgenstern talk to comics about their first time doing stuff. That's on Stitcher, SoundCloud, and iTunes. And if you want to know where I'm at, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, and my website is darrencredible.com. That's D-A-R-I-N Credible. My private eyes, they're watching you, and they see your every move. Oh, my private eyes, they're watching you. All right, and with that, I just want to say thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, song suggestions, please shoot us an email. We are at decompositionpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at decomp_pod. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram at Decomposition Podcast. Do yourselves a favor and do us a favor. Get yourself onto the Apple Podcast app, iTunes. Drop us a rating or review. Let us know what we're doing, good, bad, or otherwise. In the meantime, thank you again for listening, and you just chill till the next episode.